Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The following is a presentation of the 4Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the 4Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Knapsack.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and next up, you should hear, I'm Jennifer Landa, but Jennifer is still on a well-earned break. Jennifer will be back, we believe, next week. Don't hold us to that. The future is always in motion, but that is the plan right now, to have Jennifer Landa back next week.
Absolutely, and I've seen the emails. It's happening. It's just a matter of when. As she gets a wonderful deserved rest and recovery from life, because we all need that from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
This is, of course, our news show. We call it the breaking news from a long time ago, but the breaking news can sometimes be from this morning when we are about ready to record. We're going to get into Ahsoka. The series is coming. August is on the way. Empire Magazine has started the drip. Capital T, capital D, the drip of press, stills, interviews, clips, blurbs. It's on the way. We have a couple we're going to talk about and one that popped up just this morning. Before we get all that today, we're going to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4Center. Over 180,000 titles and climbing to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, we have our 4Center recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us. As always, we do ask, have an ask. We ask that you listen to our ask segment. There you go. What's our ask for today?
Please, can you listen? Please. No, we are continuing to promote our Patreon. So many people have joined us. Even more people joined us earlier this month as we begin June. We're having so much fun doing Indiana Jones and the Perilous podcast. We have now had a deep dive discussion on the overall saga of Indiana Jones. and the first three films, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom, Last Crusade. And in just a little while here, we're going to be talking about Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. We've been getting some great insights from listeners on Patreon about their journey with Indiana Jones, and we love that. So if you want to join us on the hype train that Indiana Jones is clinging to the side of and fighting Nazis on as we get to Dial of Destiny, come join us on Patreon. As we've said, once Dial of Destiny is out, we will make these available episodes available to the public. But for now, they're a Patreon adventure. If that interests you, we have a bunch of other stuff going on at Patreon, including a building to a new goal. So if you're interested, check out patreon.com/ForceCenter.
Check it out, my friends. Star Wars and Life Adventures is next for the two of us here. We both have great things going on, cool things on the horizon, and challenges in front of us, Joseph. And that's where Star Wars can sometimes find you the most. How's your journey going?
It's going a lot. My journey is going a lot. It's one of those weird times. I've got some, as I've mentioned, I've got some family stuff that's difficult going on, kind of stuff. It's life, but it's got to be dealt with. And that's heavy, and Star Wars helps with that. And then I am working on this short film. Thank you to everyone who so kindly supported the Kickstarter. The Kickstarter was fully funded. We reached a couple of our stretch goals, so that's wonderful. And as we're recording on a Monday, we are shooting this coming Saturday and Sunday. So I feel like I am 90% this film.
Yeah,
because it's just taken up so much of my time in a wonderful way. I'm having so much fun, but it is also very, very all consuming. To me, there's this fascinating thing, and I'm sure lots of listeners in various adventures in life have experienced this, where, you know, when you watch like a making of documentary about, like, you know, say Star Wars, the first one turned out great. made a difference in people's lives. And you hear the stories of the people who are working on it. Lucas himself thinking, can this possibly come together? Is this all going to fall apart? And it's so easy to look at it from like the end result of like, but it didn't. And this film that I'm making is, you know, not the scale of Star Wars in any way, but it's an escalation for myself of the amount of moving pieces and the budget and all of that. And it's kind of comforting to just think about, honestly, the parts of the making of stories of films like Star Wars that are real tough, And I'm be like, oh man, I'm real stressed. I'm real tired. I'm worried about this. I'm trying to balance that. And then like, well, I didn't get put in a hospital from stress, and I don't have, British camera people fighting with me about my vision yet. Yeah. So I'm doing better than poor George did on the first film. So Star Wars is finding me in that way. Then in the just kind of the fun way, I've been doing a lot of shopping for props and costumes and art supplies. And it's always fun to see Star Wars everywhere. So even while I'm not doing Star Wars things, my favorite Star Wars thing I saw as I walked to this costume and prop and theatrical store on Hollywood Boulevard that's been there since like 1950. And it's like, oh, it's a lot of monsters. And hey, you can be a ninja or a fairy or whatever costumes. And then just peppered with the random Star Wars stuff, a child Sith Lord costume. But my favorite thing I saw, which I had such strength to not purchase, was they had this kind of cheap plastic chalice, but it was Darth Vader's head. And I always love drinking out of characters' heads. So if I need something else there, I might be picking up Darth Vader.
Ah, that'd be perfect for one of your wonderful drink shots with the stars and the sun setting in the background. It'd be amazing. The head Vader.
Yeah, it almost looks like something that was like made, by the acolytes of Beyond or whatever to worship Vader.
Yeah,
let's drink out of his head. We worship him. So those are some of my life and Star Wars adventures. How about you?
I love it. Full indeed. We also should thank, before we get to my adventures, thank all the Force Center fans and friends who have been so, forgiving that we've had a little less content out these days. Concerned of that. And I started a part-time gig in the nerd space. So I'm spending some energy doing that, which has been a lot of fun. So thank you all for allowing us that with your grace. We appreciate it. Yes, for me, good and bad perspective and all that matters. The good is this. I have been become obsessed with the adventures of young Indiana Jones. And you would prime me for this. You would prime me for this. You and Sarah were able to see some of the episodes last year, right, on Paramount Plus when it was there for a short time. And I had not seen them, obviously, where the show. I used to watch the show back in 92 into 93. I don't remember watching the TV movies that came out later, but definitely the show. And I had vague memories of it. Liked it, but I don't know, not as a lot of action and all the kind of stuff and young indie, blah, blah, blah. I know T. Lawrence shows up. All right, I get that. but, you know, diving into the history of it, diving into ABC, not knowing what to do, because great, a young indie adventure show. And George says, well, it's going to be educational. And George shows up with some just hard hitting themes and lessons and perspectives. And you would kind of prime me for that because it's also fun names. So there's a long list of Star Wars names in this series, both from the past, Bruce Bowe, William Hookins, in the future, what would become with the prequels there. And so I was primed for that, but I just been blown away by it. Everything that George gets to, that this was on network television in the 90s, which was a different time. My other job, I mean, I can't shut up about it. My pal, some of you might know Matt Key from Marvel Movie News back in the day. He's kind of the guy who brought me into this gig. And I just like, we have a meeting at 1:30 to pitch ideas, the whole staff. But I was like, Can I talk to you about young Indiana Jones? I'm just like rambling over all this stuff. I can't contain my excitement. And you and I will probably find a way to explore it here on the show. I don't know if we're going to do all 22 mini movies that are now the show, The Adventures of Young Indy. But we're going to dive into it. But anyways, it's been fascinating. Fascinating to see George's state of mind, what he wanted to get across, what he decides to go do with the prequels, and how this was the first example of fan expectations and George's goals not lining up initially, right? But what remains is some really important things, and that's been fun just as a fan, because you know you and I and a lot of people listening, we've been around the block. Even if Force Awakens was your first Star Wars, it's been a few years now, right? It's me as one of those Beatle fans who's, I've heard everything, and then Get Back comes out and I'm like, oh my God, that recontextualized something I grew up thinking, right? Go back and visit George in the early 90s, where this was a blip, something I overlooked. Like, I know Rick McCallum produced him. I get it. I didn't get it. And it's been fun to explore that.
So. Yeah. I'm so glad they're on Disney Plus. One, because I'll have access to them, but I think a lot of people who have access to them in, you know, maybe people our age who, you know, had an awkward relationship with them or an up and down or mixed relationship with them. But yeah, so many Star Wars and Indiana Jones fans who they're absolutely brand new to. And I love it for the Indiana Jones because it's clearly something just lit up in Lucas with the story of Last Crusade of here's this adventurer that we really, you know, got excited about this adventurer with the whip. And then it's kind of different that he's also a, you know, professor. We got the books and the swagger. But then in Last Crusade, we really learn like, this is his father drilled the perspective of history and knowing the world into him. And what is that like? How can I can explore those daddy issues in great depth. So it is absolutely a fascinating deepening of the Indiana Jones character in Saga. But then at the same time, like you're saying, it is a making of prequel to the prequels, from the actors to the production team, to even, in most excitingly to me, the themes, the ideas.
Yes.
So I just feel like even if people are like, I'm not really up for the Indiana Jones movies, but I love the prequels, this is a fun thing to watch just from that perspective.
Yeah, and again, crazy to think we won't go deep into this won't be our breakdown Adventures of Young Indiana Jones episode here, but I was watching the episode, the last one I watched is Perils of Cupid, and it goes into love, and where 9-year-old Indy falls in love with Princess Sophie, the daughter of Franz Ferdinand. Now, it's just, you know, as a history buff, this just, as George is too, it's just fun to experience that. He's at that dinner table with Sigmund Freud, Carl Jung, and Alfred Adler having a conversation about love and philosophy. It's so deep. And by the way, Max von Sydow is Sigmund Freud, like just fun stuff. And I just was laughing while I'm watching this. I'm like, and this was like Thursday night primetime ABC programming. And no wonder, and executives, no wonder they didn't know what to do. Here now, I'm watching Wiki. There you go. We'll get that out. I love having all the sound dump into one thing. And I love ads on websites. But it's just been, I was just laughing that. Imagine you're chomping a cigar in ABC Studios going, we got George Lucas here. What the hell? He's got Sigmund Freud debating love with young Indy. What are we doing here? It's just massively fun. So anyways.
Anyways. The final thing I'll say about it for now, too, is like I think it is fascinating from that perspective, too, of, Lucas, the rebel in flannel, who really did carve out his own path. And I think because he paid so much for things, was able to do things like, people wouldn't do. I mean, this is shot all over the world. And it is this fascinating Lucas tension. Maybe it works for you. Maybe it doesn't. But like, I want it to be silly. I want it to be fun and full of life. And I want it to be over the top that everywhere Indiana Jones goes, he meets the most famous person in history. It's bonkers. It's absurd. It's not realistic. But then within that, like, I mean, I want to get into the deepest heart of what is the history of philosophy? What makes us who we are? You know, what choices should we actively make as a society to be the best to everybody? You know, and they don't always, you know, if a network, a cigar chomping network executive had access to them, the Clone Wars wouldn't have happened. This wouldn't have happened. And that's part of what makes them beautiful and special and weird.
It is. And fun. Yeah. Shooting all over the world. I got for the Tangier episode, you got to see one of the cities that Daenerys Targaryen takes over. But in 1992, fascinating stuff. Fascinating there. So there's that. That's the positives on the other side. I got a car accident yesterday. I'm okay. 2002 Ford Mustangs hanging in there. We're okay. And I let anger take over me. What was not my fault. Car turned into me, but you try not to give in the dark side, but I gave in the dark side and I felt bad for it, but then calmed down and then was taking pictures of the scene of the accident for myself, for my insurance, and a major accident happened in front of me again, real bad. Everyone was able, I think okay, but I think it was going to be some injuries. And that's one of those like, okay. You know, we're all staring out at the twin suns waiting for our dreams to come true. And it doesn't always work that way. And sometimes you just got to go where the journey takes you. I'm okay. My car's okay. So Star Wars hopefully finding me at my most angry, because I was angry. I just was going to get some vegan hamburgers, Joseph. That's all I was doing. And a car just came into me.
I understand. We were talking off air, and I think, you know, there are those things in life that, like, it is upsetting all by itself, but then when it feels like a metaphor for life, that makes me even more angry of, like, I would be furious if I were in your position of, like, I'm just literally staying in my lane, doing my thing, and the world whacks into me.
Yeah, I felt like I was traveling in a hyperspace lane during the High Republic era when the incidents started happening and the Nile messed things up. So
that's Marchian Rowe, whatever your damn name is. How dare you turn your car?
How dare you? So there you go. That's our life adventure. Sorry for the mini Indiana Jones breakdown. I just am just in love with this series, and I want you all to be in love with it, too. So let's from that go to a news story, a series of news stories about a series I hope we all love too, because we always are excited for new Star Wars. And as of right now, August is the month for the release of the Ahsoka series. Should point out, we're going to get to some of the business here, but you know, WGA strike still going on. SAG could be next. WGA is like, we're fine. We're good. We've got our contract signed up. Oh, the town is a flutter with
the Directors Union. Yeah.
Yeah. DGA is, but anyways, all that, we'll see if it delays anything. I don't think it will. In terms of release, we should be good, but it is time, my friends. Empire Magazine interviews, stills, blurbs. They are dripping out and beginning to give us a picture of the Ahsoka series. What the Vanity Fair cover articles were for the prequels, the slow drip of Empire Magazine instills are for modern Star Wars shows to me. I don't know if that's off base, but that's what it kind of feels like to me, you know?
No, I think so. I think it is the moment that it gets splashed everywhere. And like, this is like, okay, it's time for the diehard fans to get hyped. And it's time for the people who haven't really known this thing is happening to start passing it in the grocery store.
Ah, that's a key thing you just said there. Love, highlighted that here. So it's Ahsoka's turn, and two covers were revealed this week for their upcoming July issue, which I think might drop as soon as Thursday this week. I thought I read one public cover with Ahsoka in action on that pillar heavy location in the show's trailer, and a special cover, kind of a black and white image of Ahsoka and the shadow and shape of Thrawn. Behind her, it's for the subscribers, if there's still subscribers of magazines out there. I used to have like 15 back in the day. And this, to me, looks like an album cover in 1997. Really good. Like the Verve just released something, or maybe Collective Soul. I don't know. So I want to start with the covers, Joseph. Thoughts on the covers? Are we ready for the press bliss? Where we are with that? And a little bit of the business. Does the business of Disney, the union strife, what's going on with Disney Plus for shows being pulled and tax breaks, all those things we're reading, does it affect any excitement for you at all? I want to be honest about that. So I'll start with you on the covers.
Yeah, I mean, the covers are fascinating, particularly since looking at them on the internet, they cannot stop with the ads. So
yes.
Right now, the first one for me is Ahsoka teamed up with a cat and a dog advertising top deals of the month at Petco. So don't think that was intended. So I'm going to try to close the ad so I can see the rest of it. Yeah. The main one is really, really great. It isn't anything that we haven't seen before with the temple location, but I really was affected by just the huge image of Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else. No Din, no Obi-Wan, not even any of the other characters from this show. This phrase that it says on the cover, sabers up as the iconic warrior finally takes center stage. There's a lot that just got me really, I've been excited for Ahsoka, but I think I've just been patient for, that thing's coming. I loved all of the Star Wars storytelling that we got in the last few months, but between Mandalorian, Bad Batch, Visions, London, being there for Star Wars Celebration, then all the May the 4th celebrations. It was just kind of a lot all at once. And now there's just been a little bit of, for me, like a deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten so excited for Ahsoka. And this is where part of the cover comes in, is the idea that this is classic Star Wars stuff. Is lightsabers and old temples and a Jedi finding a new path. So all this stuff that I absolutely love about Star Wars, I'll take Jedi stuff as my main dish. But it's Ahsoka. Mm-hmm. And this idea of her sort of like the world will know Ahsoka now is really, really exciting. I know we're going to talk about that more with some of Filoni's quotes, but that's the way this cover hit me, of this feeling of like, wow. It's like when you see one of your old friends, have a big career success, and like, oh, people are, their name's going to be ringing out. Like people are going to know our old buddy Ahsoka now,
it's an amazing way to look at it. Love that. Yeah. Love that feeling. When you get to watch that in someone else's life, it's fun. Well, I really like what you said there. This is a great way to start it about what this means and what this represents. I too feel as though just unintentionally they've been taking a little bit of a break from Star Wars in terms of excitement. Like it's still part of what we're doing here every week. But even as we've said up top, we're doing a little bit less episodes to get some stuff going in and kind of take a deep breath that we haven't, I'll be honest, we really haven't done for 8 years.
There was guilt of like, are we allowed to do two episodes a week for just a short time? Like,
yeah. And again, that's why we're so thankful for all you Force Center friends who've listened support over the years to realize like we have some, I want to send out handwritten letters to y'all. Apologize for not working as hard as we have, but I'm excited that this show is the one that's going to be like kind of the, all right, let's gear up again. Because a lot of what you're saying, this is a band you love just released a big single, right? This is, I was a fan of Semisonic, but now you all hear Closing Time. Welcome aboard. Like, this was me in 99. And there's a lot to that and a lot to, it's prime for success, but I do want to discuss some of the history of that, of this is, I think, the right time for Ahsoka versus a few years ago and everything like that. And I love the photo, and I love Sabres Up is a love it. It's the full blitz, and I'm excited for it. I will say, and I perhaps this was Well, I wanted to put the question in there. I do have a little bit, just we're living in a city that's directly affected by a lot of the labor strife going on, the union strife and the strike and all the stuff going on. It's not taking away my excitement for the show. I feel I can still talk about this, still do a podcast about this stuff. We're not just here to focus on the news. We're here to focus on what it means to all of us. So I still feel it's important to talk about it. But yeah, it's a weird time, especially, you know, Disney Plus being the latest location where shows are being pulled for $1.5 billion tax write-off. Like, yeah, it burns me a little bit. I don't think anything in Star Wars will come off yet, unless maybe some of the smaller things that are on there, the Lego stuff or something. We'll see. I hope not. I am, for one, upset about the Willow thing being pulled, and we'll see what happens in the future, of course. But yeah, I was going to pitch it to you, Joseph, like, mm-hmm. Where are you? It's a temperature check of like, there's some reality. But also you and I are of the mind of like, no, let's get it all working right. So we all can hopefully share art to make money and have livings and not scrounge. And it's the realities, but it's a weird spot, I think, at least for me.
Yeah, no, I really agree with all of that. I think for me, there is always, when we talk about a lot on the podcast, an awareness that this giant corporation of Disney that is designed to make money is a giant corporation. I think when everything is working, the people involved in making money for this giant corporation are aware that at the end of the day, what they sell is magic. That's what the Disney name and hopefully the Lucasfilm name means, is taking people to wonderful, exciting places and enriching their lives. And as a corporation, it's important that they are not destructive. And I think all of these wage battles are destructive. This is going on. It's affecting this industry very directly right now. But I think the reason that polls are coming out with people in support of writers is because the communication has been made. The image that sometimes people have of you write on one television show and you got a mansion in the hills, right, is so far from reality. And the fight that is happening is the fight that is happening everywhere, where too much money is flowing up to the top in unprecedented level. And it is grinding everybody down, and that's not sustainable, right? It's not just that, oh, that's a bummer. It's that it isn't sustainable. And I think this battle is really, really important for that. So I'm always really aware of all of those things, the ups and downs of it. But I think on the other side of it for me, I'm like with Ahsoka in particular, great question of is this going to stop me from enjoying it? The WGA is not officially asking people to not watch things. And like, there've been some, you know, some tweets and hashtags going around of cancel your Netflix. And if somebody chooses to do that is their own way of making a statement. Great. But the WGA is not asking that. I think to me, the notion is we want to celebrate the work. We want you to enjoy the things that we have worked so hard to create, and we want to get back to creating them while being paid a fair wage. So from that perspective, I feel like I want to celebrate the art, and I want to celebrate the way it brings us together and helps us through life. And I think it's good. I'm excited to celebrate those things about Ahsoka.
Yeah. Sorry. I was just listening to you taking it all in, hand chin on my hands. Eyes lit up. Love it. No, I think more than anything, I'm okay with the realities of someone years ago, someone got mad at me, from a trivia league I used to compete in, who they tweeted me like, why are you helping Disney promote this stuff? And I was like, I'm not helping them. I have a podcast diving into it. That's how I make my money. So they make theirs. That's how I make cut. Like, what do you think we're all doing around here? So I have a pretty realistic view of it. I wish we all were one independent artists that could get our art out there. And even that's kind of a lie, because you could do that. You could be an independent artist who gets your music, your comedy, and your videos out there. But the algorithm bosses are there to make that a little bit of a harder reality too. Like, it's a struggle. no matter which way you look at it, and you try to break through, and everyone, and this is how you break through the system of these, you know, big studios. It's always going to be there. So anyways, all that to say, before we wander too far into the woods of this conversation of, you know, it is, I don't have any realistic fear that Ahsoka will come drop and then be pulled from the network. But I also wouldn't have thought that about Willow, right? Like, it's Willow. It's a big brand for them. And I am a big fan of the show, and I know not everyone was, totally get it, but that should not be. I mean, that show affected people's lives. It was some of the best representation on Lucasfilm to date, and it meant something for people. And here we are in Pride Month, and that is, I think, a wonderful thing. And also too, a complicated thing at times with brands just jumping on the sales, but also it's a weird time as those brands are then attacked and almost burned to the ground by those who would stand before progress and change. And so it's put me in a weird frame of mind, but I'm excited to just kind of, as they say, get on the field and play the game when Ahsoka drops.
Yeah, no, I understand. And I didn't get a chance to watch Willow, and I'm really bummed that I just can't right now. And I think I agree with you. I think for the Star Wars of it, yeah, maybe there's, you know, maybe some of the Lego shows or something with a little smaller profile they might try to get away with. But honestly, I think that there's got to be an awareness of that would be a big poking the bear. if Star Wars stuff started to flit in and out, particularly the stuff that's only available on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Thanks for letting me just work through that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's important to, because I think we always have to be there's no point in ignoring it's a corporation. And there's also at the same time no point in ignoring the power of this storytelling that brings people together and helps their lives and entertains them. It both exist, and you got to reckon with both.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm someone who's still, at the end of the day, I think I like Bob Iger, but he's also, you know, it's a complicated world. Let's get back to the art here. A quick blip of an interview with Dave Filoni was revealed with some big quotes. First, Dave talked who Ahsoka is at the start of this series, saying she's a wanderer at this point and is in a lot of ways wary of any organization as such because of the power that comes with it as a group. She walks a path that basically died out a long time ago, and there aren't many like her left, if any. So that's a lonely thing. What is that life like if you're a loner? You have a very small circle of friends. What is it like then when you try to open back up? I love that quote, and I want to get from you what you take from this quote. I'm just going to remix something maybe I think you and I have touched upon before here, but I'm feeling maybe energetic because I survived this car crash and I'm living again. I don't know. It was real easy, but throughout the history of Force Center, there's been a lot of times where I think I, even personally, even more than you, will make a little bit of a snarky comment about Dave Filoni, a little, the man in the cowboy hat, or, oh, he did it all, and da da da. And that's a reaction, I will admit, to not him, to a lot of the people who would use him or his thoughts or his successes against some of the other properties in Star Wars that I love that didn't involve Dave. And I have to own that. And I don't think he's perfect. And I don't think everything he's put out there is A+. But it's A, you know, like it's an A grade. And I think reading some of his interviews, it reminds me of what he has brought, what he has learned, what he is, you know, and again, Henry Gilroy, Carrie Beck, Jennifer Corbett, there's been a lot of people around him, and there will always be. And by the way, I think he'll be the first to tell you that, right? He hasn't, he hasn't erased these names. I think the fandom has not. And that's a general sweep at a certain discussion group. But here, this is what I love. It just, this quote of who she is, where she is, and also what is it like then? He asks those why questions that we love so much here. And to finally have him once again, because Rebels was an example of it, and obviously with Mando, but have him kind of be like, all right, this is my moment, right? He makes it, this article has a little bit of like, I got to show George. It's like turning a school paper. I really think he is there for this moment. And I think, you know, watch him cry at Star Wars Celebration because of what it all means to him. That means something to me as a fan. So, I'm always going to maybe joke a little bit, but I'm really, this quote reminded me of like, oh yeah, along with that Duel of Fates Phantom Menace monologue that was in the Disney gallery. The guy speaks a language of Star Wars I love to listen to. So that's a start. That's my starting point, but tip it to you about the quote here.
Yeah, no, I really agree with you. I think, I think that you can poke fun at creators, but I have no huge criticism of Dave Filoni. I think the only thing that I ever have is I'm very leery of any sort of deification of creators. You know, mm-hmm. I have creators I absolutely love. Obviously, George Lucas, David Lynch, you know, endless Frank Sinatra, and. But I always want to treat those people as people with flaws and ups and downs. And I know sometimes people just mean them as memes, but you know, when Mando season one was happening and when the last season of Clone Wars was happening and everybody was into them and you know, there'd be like the memes where Dave Filoni is the son.
Yeah.
You know, that's not about Filoni. That is about, for me, my relationship with, the highest compliment you can pay a creator to me is like, you're a human who, you know, mm-hmm. has to drink water or they'll die.
Yeah.
with flaws and challenges and it's your strengths and your weaknesses that find your way into the art. And that's what makes them wonderful and beautiful. And we just don't do ourselves any favors, I think, by treating, loving the work, loving the person, great, but that sort of that deification, you know, I'm not here for. And I think it is what causes legitimate confusion. Like I've seen people that I think mean no disrespect to anybody continuing to credit Dave Filoni for the Bad Batch when it's been crystal clear, like he's not actively working on that. All that credit goes to Jennifer Corbett, not Sun Meme Dave Filoni.
But
real human creator, student of Lucas, evolving, growing, coming into his own. I love Filoni as a creator, and I love this quote. So to get into the actual quote itself, I think what I like about it is there is this sense that Filoni often talks about of being aware of the old and the new, of mm-hmm. what are these foundational underpinnings of Star Wars. And how can we respect them while we must absolutely move forward and try other things? Mm-hmm. I think what really excited me is just right away of like, she's a wanderer. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us who grew up with the original trilogy, one of the bumps we had with the prequels was the big organization of the Jedi, because certainly people I talked to on the playground in the bars, as we always say, there was just something about the way Obi-Wan was like, I was wandering around and I bumped into this Anakin kid and mm-hmm. I decided to teach him the way. I was wandering around and bumped into Yoda and he taught me, and like it felt more nomadic. There was a long time where people kind of just thought that was the sort of the way of the Jedi, as mm-hmm. you just kind of wander from town to town, and if you find a problem, you deal with it. So I love that there's this sort of older idea of what the Jedi could have been that maybe Ahsoka is right now.
Mm.
And that's such a fascinating era in being a Jedi of not hunted. We now have that story a lot where people are trying to be the Jedi, but they're not hunted. And if anybody sees their lightsaber, that's going to bring the Inquisitors down on them and everyone they love. Yeah. But this idea of like, well, nobody's going to necessarily come for me.
Mm.
So I can just wander from place to place helping when I see a problem is a fascinating place to have Ahsoka start in. And it sort of ties to me these older ideas of what the Jedi might have been like.
Well, I didn't really thought of that angle there. It's funny because this is also a week where once again, good old Pablo Hidalgo got himself into some Twitter main stories with his talk of responding to some tweets out there about the amount of surviving Jedis, right? And how that was, even he admitted in a tweet, like, as an OT kid, it wasn't necessarily something I thought was the case, right? And so it took an adjustment, even in the development of Rebels. We got to remove Kanan and Ezra from the board, right? And now here we are at this side of it here. And I love what you're saying about it connecting to like an older version of the Jedi Order, and definitely works for her with where we left her in the Clone Wars, or we pick up again in Rebels, but even more recently with Mando and Boba Fett. I think it really tracks, and I'm really drawn to, it's a lonely thing. Mm-hmm. And what is that life really like? And this idea of, you know, opening up post a traumatic experience, which she's had a few. You and I have talked often about the sadness and maybe simmering, I don't know, anger, resentment, complications in her soul where we meet her in Mando. Mm-hmm. Versus a little bit more peaceful and serene in Book of Boba Fett. And how does that factor into the show? The exact timeline, you know, I think there's going to be some timelines in either direction in this show. We'll see. But I just, like, that's a great theme of just all of us, especially, you know, dealing. And again, this is one of the things, like, I don't necessarily know if Dave was like, you know, I'm going to write about my experiences in the lockdown and pandemic. But I feel as though we all kind of disconnected from a lot of things. And I've had great times. I've really spent a lot of time with myself and my fiance, and my dogs over the last couple of years. But I find myself like even tonight, I have to go to a party and I have to see some friends I haven't seen in 3-4 years. I'm excited, but I'm also like, or I could not go and just, I guess, keep doing what I've been doing. But I feel kind of disconnected from these people. And how do you do that? What is it like when you try to reconnect? And I think a lot of us might have gone through that. And so, again, I don't think Dave was like, cool, finally, I'm going to write about my lockdown experiences. No, he's had this story to sucker for a while. It ties into big themes. But I think this is where Star Wars will find you in its real life. And it's something I think we've all gone through in the last couple of years.
No, I agree with that. And I think that Ahsoka is in a place of trauma. She lost her Rebels family. She lost, she, you know, had to be confronted with the reality of what happened to Anakin. I think we can get some clarity. I think, you know, it's a possibility that she was just marooned for a long time as the galaxy spun by, without her able to help or make a difference. And now she's out here in a sort of broken but sort of healing world, and I think it really it's really era building of what's going on in this New Republic era. I love that he acknowledges, you know, the cautionary tale of the prequel era, that individuals with good intentions in organizations with good intentions, that organizational structure can make them rot. I am still of the idea that it isn't that Ahsoka is like, I've looked at all your Jedi rules and they're dumb. It's that the Jedi rules are great. The spirit of them are great. And you are gravitating away from them. You are not supposed to be in lockstep with an authoritarian government. You are supposed to be listening to your instincts. And if you listened to your instincts, you would have known I was innocent. And instead, you were too caught up in government and you put me on trial. That's not what you taught me. That's not how you taught me to be. That's not who we should be. So I'm walking away from that. So we've got this cautionary tale of, these are the dangers when interactions between people go from a small group to this grand scale that can rot. But then on the other hand side of that, you have exactly what you're talking about. Like, but people need one another. And Ahsoka in particular, a character who just has such compassion and joy from other people. On the other side of that, needing to get back together with people and feel that idea of compassion and the great Star Wars theme of stronger together. I love that that's the tension that we're going to meet her in.
Yeah, it's a great emotional starting point for me. And we haven't even got to the space whales yet, right? Where it is. Well, much more to talk in terms of themes and the emotions of it all, I'm sure, as the show gets closer and closer to coming. But the show will be heavily tied and built on Rebels. That's not a surprise. Rebels 2.0, right? We've been discussing that. And Dave addressed the question of, what about the people that aren't familiar with Ahsoka from the Clone Wars and Rebels, by saying, the biggest challenge was, there's a whole bunch of audience that know her and a whole bunch that don't. She has one foot in the Star Wars that a lot of people know because of her connection to Anakin, and yet she's all new and can go in her own direction, in her own way. I think that makes her an interesting bridge between what came before and what's really possible. I want to get your thoughts on this. I really I'll start here, Joseph, looking back to things I think I've even said here, but I definitely, this is stuff I'd said over the old job there at Collider, where in 2015, 2016, I felt there was an immediate kind of call from a lot of fans of Ahsoka movie, right? Oh, we're doing Star Wars stories? Ahsoka. That came up a lot. And I remember saying on the show, like, agreed, she's become one of my favorite characters. I was one of the ones who in 2008-09 were like, I don't know, she seems pretty snippy. She grew into what I felt was really one of my favorite characters. And I still would call her that, even though so many other wonderful characters have emerged and I fall in love with them too. But I just didn't feel it made sense at the time, where I think the harsh reality was not a lot of people watched Clone Wars, not as many as you thought, even though there's, I think, an entire Clone Wars generation of fans, and definitely was a popular show. In 2015, 2016, there was a lot more Ahsoka question marks. What is that character name? What is that? Then there was, yes, I know who that character is and I want more of her. But I think over time, as the Clone Wars generation emerges, as Rebels shows up and Ahsoka becomes a key part of that, this just all makes more sense. And I'm more excited for it. Like, I think, talk about journeys and staring into the twin suns and asking for something and not getting it quite yet. great purpose. I think it just was not right back then, and it is now. And that, I think Dave's right, that this is a interesting character that's in the middle of a lot of things and a lot of ideas. And I personally know people who still kind of refer to her as, this is the character that those sweaters are of, right? Like, referring to her universe. Even my own fiance, big Star Wars fan, loves Rosario Dawson. It's like, who is this the one? Like, our friend Wendy Lee really loves Ahsoka, right? So I was like, is this like Wendy's favorite character? Which one is this? And like, that's going to be, that's still the norm, I think, for the larger audience, which is why, going back to the original point, now she's in line at grocery stores on Empire Magazine. And that's exciting.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are people who are Star Wars fans. They just watched the movies. They're aware of the cartoons, the animated series. Maybe they gave, you know, a couple episodes of Clone Wars a try and it wasn't for them. But they'll have heard of Ahsoka, right? And like, you know, it'll be I think I remember, like, they gave Anakin a Padawan.
right.
In that cartoon. And he's grown up. And it's like, in some ways, it's exciting to think about. And I think that's why that cover hit me, of if you're a fan and you're vaguely aware of Ahsoka, that image is striking of who's this alien woman with two blazing white lightsabers? Like, we see that and we're like, yes. And she bled them in this novel. But if you're a little out of touch with that side of Star Wars and you just see that, like, if I'd never met Ahsoka, if I'd never watched Clone Wars or Rebels, and wasn't doing this podcast and was like a very casual Star Wars fan, that would just be an image that I dreamed of seeing for years, of just who's this Jedi, in what era, why are those lightsabers white? So I am really excited for people who are getting to fully meet her for the first time and getting just drawn in by the wonderful Star Warsness of it. I also just think your point of the stars are aligned and the time is right is, I think, for general audiences who are like, I'm kind of casual on Star Wars, but everybody's talking about the Baby Yoda show. And they watched The Mandalorian. And The Mandalorian, I think, really, it not only introduced Ahsoka, but it really primed people for a lot of these ideas, a lot of these characters, a lot of these moments are from these animated series, and you can go check them out if you want to. So I think that people are aware of what they're getting into for the most part. I personally think that Filoni and Favreau did a good job throughout Mandalorian with things like the Darksaber, you know?
Yeah.
If you know it, great. It's OMG, Moff Gideon has the Darksaber. If you see it and you go, yeah, I bet that's a thing, you can read 1,000 articles and explainer videos. But going back to the, like, well, what if you just don't? What if you don't know what that is? And what if you don't want to look it up? What if you don't want it to become, as some people feel, homework?
Yeah.
Thinking about it from that perspective of you've watched the first season of Mandalorian, you've enjoyed the first season of Mandalorian, you felt like you didn't need to know too much. And then that Gideon guy's alive and he's got some crazy bleeping glowing black lightsaber. That's fun too. You don't need to know.
Yeah.
I think sometimes our desire to feel like which episodes do I want to watch is wanting to not feel like you're left out. But I think from the perspective of the show, the live action Mando Book of Boba Fett told you everything you ever needed to know about that lightsaber and what it means to the characters you're watching now. You don't have to watch a single episode.
No.
And I'm really fascinated with Filoni being very invested in that balance of I am going to lose my mind when Professor Hiang, played by the 10th and 14th Doctor David Tennant, hits the screen. But I guarantee you there's not going to be any need to watch those episodes. And it can just be like, cool. I didn't know a robot used to help Jedi build lightsabers. Awesome.
So funny. This is maybe a little off to the side of this, but I was in this other job I have, and I was in this pitch meeting, and I was talking about we need to probably do some Ahsoka prep content. You know, I mentioned Professor Huang. I said, this is droid, and da-da-da. And one of the other writers in the room was like, wait, that's the droid's name? And started kind of going in on me. And then I was like, and I knew this writer was a big Doctor Who fan. I said, well, let me stop you there. David Tennant is the, and they went, I'm in. So that's fun to me that kind of thing is this pop culture world is someone's going to have the first time with Professor Huang. That's amazing to me. Part of the fun. And Dave's aware of that. You know, he's not just going to be like, boom, here. Unless you do a Jesse Eisenberg horror movie, like, boom, line, squiggly line. This is Professor Huang. Rule number 37.
Yeah. And I think no matter what the show is going to get criticized, maybe sincerely, maybe with, you know, a lot of thought, and it's going to get just dunked on in casual social media posts. Yeah. It's going to get dunked on for being, you know, it's just a commercial for the animated series. Everything's too complex. It's just all homework now. Those criticisms will come. But for me, I want to go into this with like, if that's what you feel and that's not for you, hey, walk a different path. I can recommend Remington Steele. I'm enjoying rewatching old episodes of that. Go crazy with Columbo and don't worry about continuity. There's a million things for you if you don't want to worry about continuity. But that's what Star Wars is. That's who these characters are. That's the world that Filoni himself celebrates every time you put a mic in front of him. He's like, I love that it's an interconnected world and that they're building everything. So if it's not for you, totally understood. But to me, this is like criticizing a pizza for having tomato sauce. It's what it is. It's the essence of it is that this is building on stories that have come before. This is building on moments that have come before. And the creator is aware and trying to make sure that they're exciting and fresh and you have all the knowledge you need. It's not homework, but for those of us who've gone on the journey, we enjoy it. It's part of what it is. It's part of the value.
It absolutely is. It's sauce. And also we live in a world where one of my favorite shows recently was Poker Face, Rian Johnson and Natasha Leone's show. And people were like, but it's not really connected. It's like every week it's a new adventure or mystery. Like, yeah, that's okay. All right, here we go.
Here we go.
One of my least favorite critiques of modern day Star Wars is all Star Wars does is just reference itself. I'm like, I understand where some of that comes from, but Ahsoka to me is still kind of a new character. You know, 2008 ain't that long ago, kids. And this is a fun reference to explore then, if that's what.
Yeah, no. And final thing in this quote, I love that Filoni is talking about, you know, she's got this history to Anakin and from the animated series, and yet she's all new and can go in her own direction in her own way, he says. I'm so excited for the new as well, because I think all of the imagery we've seen, you know, including that other cover for Empire, which I know is sort of like an artist made it, but Lucasfilm, I would imagine, has to give a thumbs up on that. It's got all of that, you know, Mortis world between worlds kind of glowing stuff. We're clearly, Ahsoka's always been a very, very spiritual character, and Filoni has always been very interested in the mystical, esoteric, not able to completely know it side of the Jedi, the Force, the galaxy of Star Wars, and really diving deep into that in live action is really exciting to me. And I think that might be a part of the new that we're pushing toward.
Pushing towards the new with a character we love and other people hopefully will love soon. Well, we are not done talking about Ahsoka. More Ahsoka talk after the break. Two stories to get to before we do, though. A little Force Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, what do we have?
We are recommending Path of Deceit by Tessa Grattan and Justina Ireland. It's part of the High Republic that we're not caught up on, but we want to be. And maybe you can get caught up by getting an audiobook.
You can download your free audiobook today, but go to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. All right, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, Sabine, Red Lightsabers. It's all here in the Ahsoka series coming our way in August. More on the way.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Welcome back to Force Center. What used to be the big show, what used to be the main show, what used to be the superstar star of our fleet, but now part of the fleet here, the news here on Force Center. Joseph and I looking at the Empire Online press drips. I don't know if that's even the greatest phrase to describe it there, but I like it. We have got, this one was also released. Empire released a still of Ahsoka cloaked in a gray robe and Natasha Lou Bordizzo, who I'm sure does not remember me on the flight back from London, looking much like her Rebels epilogue self. We've seen a few shots out there with different hair lengths and colors. So we know we're going to be doing some, not necessarily jumping, but I just think we're going to experience a lot of different aspects of this story's timeline. Bordizzo has this to say about Sabine and her overriding goal in the show: to find Ezra. She feels an obligation to him. When they freed Lothal, she was given this hero status, but she doesn't feel that she's earned that because she lost her friend in that whole debacle. She's just focused on the promise she made to him to find him. There's some other stuff in the article about, you know, Ahsoka's thing is to find Thrawn and yours is to find Ezra, but we're going to sync up on that there. Thoughts on this, her hero status. I love this little line about that and the difference between searching for Ezra and trying to find Thrawn, and where can we meet in the middle on that one?
Yeah, no, I love just the number of investigations we can do in timeline with every one of these photos. We're like, okay, that's Sabine's hair, but that's the wrong color cloak for Ahsoka. So when is this? You know, and does hair grow faster in space, or how much time is going to pass for Sabine to have that great new do? And is that before? People have great deep thoughts on that. But for me, I think what's exciting about this this quote is just diving into Sabine's soul and trauma recovery as well, which I think is so much the theme of this era of a lot has been, we won, but we lost a lot. So what's next? And I think there's plenty of room for interpretation, in my opinion, about the end of Rebels.
Yeah.
But for me, I got the impression that Sabine made it her top goal to guard Lothal and wait for an attack that never came from the Empire. So I don't know if we're going to deal with that anyway, because we know that in theory, while she was guarding Lothal, and maybe I'm misinterpreting it, maybe she left, some real bad stuff happened on Mandalore. And where's her family? You know? Did they survive? So I think I'm really interested in that of like, I'm a hero for saving Lothal, maybe kind of a guardian coming up with little problems, but does she feel bad for sitting out the war? She's in the show. She's a restless warrior who's ready to go, you know? And now she spent a long time waiting for an attack that never came. I'm really interested in that as well as her relationship with Ezra, and how much is any of that tied up in her relationship with Ezra?
I think it's a great thought. I've been slowly, I'm in like season 3 of Rebels on a rewatch that will have to pick up a little pace before Ahsoka drops. But yeah, I love that because I really love this idea. If she was given this hero status, but she doesn't feel that she's earned that, and she ties it to the loss of Ezra and this promise to Ezra. But also, I love what you're saying of like, this is where I chose to put some of my energies. This is where I felt I was needed. And I don't know if that's right. A little bit to try to connect it to real world stuff for me. It's like, I don't know. You ever just kind of look at yourself in the mirror and think, well, what have I done? I haven't done anything. What have I accomplished in life? And then maybe sometimes you look back and you have to align yourself with what you have done, or where, well, I needed to be here, whether I wanted to or not. And that led me to this. And that kind of stuff. Again, if Dave's sitting down with a yellow notepad to explicitly, you know, directly, address that, I don't think so. But that's where I'm intrigued by what she's saying. It's so easy because this is Star Wars and you get the action figures and you put them on your shelf and Sabine's a hero. She is. And for her to look in the mirror, the space mirror, and not see that and not come to terms with that. And again, what is a hero? That's a big question. Sure. I know, but like I'm fast. It's a great starting point for someone, like you're saying, this restless warrior ready to go who missed out on so many things. And let's say some part of her family does survive, or all of her family survives. Would they again be like, where were you? Hey, what gives?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she, yeah, and there's so much great storytelling about which family needs her the most at what time.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And she's got her family of origin in the Mandalorians, but she's got this Rebels family too, and yeah. And I, you know, how much of her commitment to Lothal is the sacrifice that Kanan made as well. Just there's a lot of great stuff to explore in terms of the Thrawn Ezra thing. I would imagine that from Ahsoka's point of view, there's a little bit of a two birds, one stone. There's a friend in need and a dire threat to the galaxy, and their fates are intertwined. Just seems like something where Ahsoka would very much need to be involved. I'm fascinated also just by how far the show will go. If this is I think it's going to become pretty clear of like, yeah, episode three, they find Ezra, or if it's like Ezra's the last beat of the show. So I have no idea if they'll get into it, but their relationship, Ahsoka and Sabine's relationship with Ezra is great, because if Ahsoka has been going around going, I think I know how I want to go about being a lone wandering Jedi. I think I know my philosophy and I think I'll follow it. But then connects with Luke. A school is starting. We don't know where that is on the timeline. We don't know what Ezra's been through, what he thinks the Jedi Order should be. Does she meet him in episode three? And he's like, all right, time to start a school. And she's like, no, you know, there was in Rebels, especially in the earlier seasons, it seemed like Ezra was real sweet on Sabine. Is that just, was that just like a childhood thing in the early seasons of that show? Or is that something that Filoni has any interest in following up on and how they both feel about that? And I'm not going to offer any strong opinion because I don't want any shippers mad at me in any direction.
In any which way. Yeah.
Yeah. But I could see that as just like, yeah, that was, you know, a childhood, you know, crush that Sabine did not seem, in my estimation, to super reciprocate. But there's a lot in just their relationships once they find Ezra. And maybe that's all the theoretical season two.
Yeah, no, you're you got me thinking about if and when they find Ezra, right? And I know a lot of, there was even, I thought, bad takes and bad jokes on it, but of Din in season three of Mando being like, I must go to the waters. And he went there. And I personally loved it because then it just opened it up to what the show was really about this season. And that was just part of the journey, not the journey. So yeah, I could go either way with it. First episode, great, because I'd love to explore some of the things you're talking about. You're right. I don't think it's a forgotten aspect of the Ezra and Sabine relationship. It's there. And the amount of people who rewatch Rebels daily, it's definitely there. But yeah, do you go anywhere with that? Do you need to? Do you want to? Is it a little romance in Star Wars or a little dealing with not romance in Star Wars? There's a lot of interesting things there. But this also could be the real lessons were the things we discovered along the way. And Ezra's at the end of that. That could be important as well. And yeah, I think it's just, I think there's been a wonderful amount of tension played with between Ahsoka and Sabine in the promotion so far. Right. It's not a warm embrace we're seeing there. And I will admit, and it's been a while since I watched the end of Rebels. I don't like to jump ahead when I'm rewatching something. I like to get there. I could just YouTube it and watch a clip, but I don't remember back then taking it as tension filled as much. And maybe I'm completely wrong on that. To me, Gandalf Ahsoka shows up. Gandalf, the white Ahsoka, shows up in her white cloak. And by the way, maybe there's a gray cloak underneath it and she's layered. Who knows? And it was like, cool, it's go time for me. Like, oh, I was like, oh, great, they're going to go, maybe we'll get another animated series. You know, that was my vibe back then. I can't wait to go back and revisit it as it was presented then and then attach new meaning to it now of just kind of, you know, I think there's definitely some implied tension there. And that's an interesting starting point, is they both have goals that I don't think on the surface aren't conflicting, but they definitely seem to be pulling them in different directions. And now they got to find a way to go forward. That's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's just a lot of story that we don't know of what has caused the tension between them. Is there something that, you know, Sabine thinks Ahsoka should have been doing that she's not, or that kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Love that there. Well, there's a question I'd written down here, but I think we should move that one to the end because unless you have any final thoughts on Sabine here, other than I'll say this, my final thought is it's a great photo. And
is it?
You know, it's working. It's getting me excited to just dive into this show. Not that I wasn't before, but to your point up top, I did feel myself kind of like, I will wait for Ahsoka when Ahsoka gets here. Now, well, despite that edict to myself, the excitement is building.
Yeah, the Ahsoka hype is here. I love how much they are putting it across as it is called Ahsoka for a reason. She is the main character, but we are spending time with Hera. Sabine seems to be like the number two on the call sheet. And I just love the character of Sabine. I love the way that she is this different approach to Mandalorians. And we've now spent so much time on Mandalorian culture, but I've just always loved the visual art side of her. And I can't wait to see that in live action.
And maybe a question I've been screaming about since 2014 in my Collider days. She was spray painting a picture of Cad Bane. How? Why? What's that like? What does she know? Cad Bane shows up again. Who knows? I want those answers. That was going to be the end of the show. That was it. Social media plugs were on the way. But then this morning, and I'm guessing by the time this episode hits all of your ears, there'll be more pictures to discuss. A new photo drop from Empire, and not much behind it in terms of the article. But we're going to dive into it. The Ahsoka show will feature an Inquisitor. A new image was revealed. And that's kind of it. Empire, I'm getting the correct article and hoping no audio ads pop up on this one. Even the article, I'll say this here, kind of is like, yeah, there's an Inquisitor. That's kind of weird, right? not a lot of them supposed to be there post Return of the Jedi. So let's dive into this. In fact, the exact line is, there shouldn't be any Inquisitors left at this point. But, Joseph, there's a lot of speculation about this photo. You and I were having fun. Yes, yes, we are the speculate responsible people. I hear it on a lot of podcasts. A lot of people who listen to us have gone on to use that phrase for themselves as well. We believe in it. But it does not mean that Joseph and I do not spend a little bit of time looking at the photo and going, ooh. So, Joseph, ooh, where do you think it is and what do you think this is?
Yeah, well, so here's my ooh. I'm just going to start with the excitement, the speculating before I get to the responsibly. One of the many places it looks like it could be is it looks a little like Korvax Fen Mustafar, the area near Vader's castle, and that would be super cool. I would love if Ahsoka is part of her wandering is a tour dealing with the past, and I can see some story where some Inquisitor who survived the Inquisitor purge is making their home in this dark side haven. So that would be super cool. I would love to see Ahsoka on Mustafar and soaking up the horror of what happened there. The responsible part of it is, hey, if it turns out to be that way, I'll be thrilled. If it's not, if this is one shot from a flashback that Ahsoka has
right.
in a vision, I'm not going to flip the table and say it should have been Mustafar. That's, you know, that's what the responsible part is about. But I think there's every possibility that, an Inquisitor survived and is just like Ahsoka, right? Now a person on a path, but without a structure or an organization. If Ahsoka feels like I'm just wandering the galaxy, sweeping up, an Inquisitor is something that could be swept up. Could absolutely also be a flashback to a different time. This could be an Inquisitor that Ahsoka encountered in her journey, you know, before she ended up on Malachor.
Yeah, I'm all for another part of the timeline, right? Going back and getting a flashback or just a look back or just this, maybe the story isn't a flashback. Maybe it just takes place in different times. Who knows? I think I'm there for that. I am intrigued. Yeah. We're having some fun. I think your Mustafar, put it on Mustafar t-shirt idea here, or should have been Mustafar t-shirt, is a good idea. That works for me a lot. Makes a lot of sense. What you're pitching, someone kind of, well, you know what? Seems like I'm going to move into Vader's fortress here since things have changed in the galaxy. I'm going to hold up here. Could be something like that. I the ground, maybe not so much. I don't know. It's been a while, but like just the image of the kind of the blue hue over the forest of the background. I was like, this is very Starkiller Base / Ilum.
And that would be great too.
You know, around the same vibe. Ahsoka going there. But, you know, again, be having a Professor Huang around going, you know, hey, we should maybe head there and see what's going on there.
Any crystals left after those Death Stars?
Yes. Yeah, I left a gift card there. Let's go back. My keys are there. That could be something for me as to be excited about as well. But I will say this, as we mentioned before in discussing the passing of Ray Stevenson and just his character, Balon Skull, just being in the trailer, that made me kind of go, well, number one, wasn't necessarily expecting that. Two, it seems intriguing. Ooh, the orange hue, everything. And it kind of ramped up the stakes for me in a lot of ways. This does as well. And also just kind of reminds me, I bet there'll be some cool lightsaber fights coming, which is part of why we love Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. They talk so much on the panel at Star Wars Celebration about all the action. So I'm very curious to see what it's like.
Yeah. And do you, because of it was going around, and you and I have discussed this, as well as many of the Star Wars podcasts over the years of hey, other Jedi, you know, Cal Kestis, cool. Where's Cal factor into Luke's story? Luke being part of the Chosen One arc, just related to him and Anakin and the bigger stakes of the galaxy. There's Kanan and Cal, and there's a lot of Jedi. It's worked for me more and more over the years because it just has made sense logically. And it just like that would be what happened. Not every one of them were wiped out only 19 years before Obi-Wan was talking to Luke. Makes a lot of sense to me. So the amount of Inquisitors, we don't, the number changes, right? Talking about, you know, Tuskens walking in straight lines to hide their numbers. I think the Inquisitors had their numbers too. One survives whatever happened. You said the Inquisitor purge. That's hilarious to me, as if Mothma said, all right, now we need to purge those Inquisitors. The fact that one would survive and is a force attuned person with a red blade and Ahsoka runs with them along their journeys, that's very intriguing to me and not something I thought about before.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, the Inquisitors, I don't think their number will ever be defined. They're certainly not being named.
They're like in three order. Members.
Yeah. When we get up to like the 48th sibling or whatever, you know. But my understanding had been that they winnow out by the time of the original trilogy. They're not running around then because Vader and the Emperor feel like, yeah, they're next to no Jedi left.
Yeah.
So I think for me, there's this curiosity of like if they were just told to put their sabers down or if their heads rolled. And their stories are told across so many media. Maybe there's something in a Vader comic book I don't know about at this point. Yeah. So but I like the idea of like I had to fight to survive.
Yeah,
I had to escape Vader too. Who would have thought? when I joined the all Force users but me should be dead party, that they would eventually come after me. Who would have thought it?
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Sorry.
They're just the show is just so loaded with like, if it was just, I don't know really much about this, but it's Ahsoka's journey. Mm-hmm. But the persistent, is Hayden going to appear in some way? Rumors. Mm-hmm. The great mystery of Balon Skull and his apprentice, the Thrawn, the Sabine, Hera, will Jason Syndulla show up? Mm-hmm. An Inquisitor. It's loaded.
It is loaded. No, you're absolutely right. Zeb, right? Chopper, like there's so many things and it's not just about Rebels 2.0 for me, but just there's so many wonderful characters and questions around them. And during this time, I'm excited to see it. It's like, yeah, I almost feel like Thrawn's definitely not second fiddle, but it's like, oh yeah. And then we have to get to Thrawn and then Purgles and then Ezra, there could be a lot of light. And then that, again, that's why I think when, you know, these two, dark side, you know, reddish orange blade wielding characters show up in the trailer. I was like, I just got a fifth course of my meal. This is amazing. I love you. Let's do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we are almost done here. Final question. I kind of already touched upon it, but, you know, we're beginning to see these photos and how are we feeling about this quote jump to live action? These characters and more, like you just mentioned, are taking. It is to me, we've been used to it a little bit over the last few years with Mandalorian, Cobb Vanth jumping from book to screen, Cad Bane, as we said, showing up, a lot of characters, Fennec Shan going from live action animation in a weird way. I'm really enjoying it to start there, Joseph, and I really love how Sabine looks. And Natasha Lyubert is it's not just about looking exactly like the character, but the vibe really works. It's such a, you know, vibrant character. All the Rebels characters are. Remember, one of my early complaints in 2014, because I might have been an idiot, was like, I don't know, too bright. And I should have told myself, wait till you get to the grav scooters that show up later on in Star Wars. It just, I remember feeling that a lot, but that's what I love about it now, and that it is, there's so much personality in these characters that it could be hard to translate. And the big Ahsoka transition that just was hard to pull off technically with the Montrails, and now I think we're in a better spot with that, where you could make them and 3D print skeletons, you know, skeletal frames them. That's craziness. I love these photos. I'm excited, and I think it's working, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think it is thrilling on multiple levels. One is just like the fun challenge of it. Yeah, because these characters like Zeb, designed for animation. Togruta was, Ahsoka's species was practical, but not flipping around having fights.
Yep.
So there's all this just like fun filmmaking, story making challenge of it. There's also, I think, this real commitment that Filoni has spoken about of like the animated shows are stylized. So the Cad Bane shouldn't look exactly like he did. That's a stylization. So what does that translate back to in live action? Same thing with the Darksaber. I even think that, you know, the spirit of Zeb was there, but it was dialed down a little bit. He's got some real big, yeah. I'm in an animated show, super big deliveries that were dialed down a little bit. So there's all this fun filmmaking side of it. Then there's the Rebels side of it that Rebels had such a distinctive style, you know, adapting Macquarie, but then really being invested in that color palette of the sort of the muted green and muted orange and all that. So seeing that translated, seeing Sabine, who is a visual artist, translated. So there's all sorts of things, but the biggest thing for me is just that there's this meta commitment to the theme of Star Wars that everyone matters, and just such a statement that these characters are not less than because they started in animation. You know, you and I have talked about there's just a reality. People aren't going to watch the animated shows as much as they're going to watch the live actions. There's still culturally tiers of, right, a movie released in a theater, a live action film released in a theater, big as you can be, and lower than that is a weekly animated television show. But in terms of the characters, the story, what these characters mean to people, the effect they have, there is no difference. They are just as important as any other character. And a show like Ahsoka coming along and just really celebrating that and allowing even more people to meet these characters is fantastic.
Fantastic indeed. And I think that's the overriding theme for our discussion today. Fantastic. We got some news. All right. That is it. We covered it. We'll cover it more. I'm sure even while you're listening now is on the way, and we'll break it down. We had to leave some stuff off the table related to Andor, some interesting quotes from Diego Luna and Tony Gilroy. They're out there. We'll discuss those in time. So as we get on out of here, I'll let you know where you can find us. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod, Instagram, and YouTube as well. We will have a live show in June, but we'll let you know when because we got a lot of things going on here. But it's on our list. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We are on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, and more. Just search and find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. Get that Speculate Responsibly shirt over there. Patreon.com/ForceCenter is where you can support us directly. Follow me at CatNapstock or go to CatNapstock.com for all the things I do, including an ASMR channel if you want some sports card ASMR, some radio music fun at Pop Rock and Radio, and more. It's all there. Joseph, where can they find and follow you as you make another film?
Thank you. You can follow me on lots of social media. The new thing for this week is I did get an invite to Blue Sky, so I'm on Blue Sky. If you get an invite, I'd really suggest trying it out. It's Twitter, but it's called Blue Sky, and there's a slightly different vibe, but it is Twitter, in my opinion. So come find me on Blue Sky. I am still on Twitter. I am on Instagram and Mastodon, TikTok. I'm going to get back to doing some not unboxing videos. I have, I found so many of my Indiana Jones friends I want. I have Marion and a monkey. I can't wait to share. So if you'd like to see that, follow me on any of the social media. My handle everywhere is at Joseph Scrimshaw.
Oh, there you go, my friends. All right, that is it for this week. We'll see you next time. Happy Pride Month to all of you out there. We're so glad you're here celebrating Star Wars with us here at Force Center. We'll see you next time, friends.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.